finally, someone with some fashion sense in the studio. Robin Bailey, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Good to have you with us, Robin. First day down, only, what is it?
Hundreds.
Go on, ask me.
Thousands?
How many more?
What are you wearing, Mutto?
What are you wearing, Mutto?
They're called socks.
Yeah, I know, mate. I've got my highest shoes on and I'm still only come up to Ed's armpit.
Yeah, we're tall. Nothing else, we're tall.
Do you like our skinny calves?
I think you've got amazing calves,
Mutto. Have we got the skinniest calves you've ever
mate,
seen in radio?
I think
radio?
My calves are bigger than yours. I'm a runner and I've got big calves.
Hold on, that's HR. I'm not touching them. Ed, I'll touch yours.
On the show today, we spoke to Matthew Hayden. That was good fun. There was a big bin debate, Robin. That was good.
Yeah, apparently I can get fined up to $2,000 if I put my stuff in other people's bins.
Can I call for the death sentence to be brought back?
Yes, you did. It was so good. It was a fun show. Enjoy yourselves.
Hey, guys, your favourite podcast is just seconds away, but what if you could listen to it without worrying about using data? Got an offer for you right now. If you go to ilovedata.com.au, you're going to get 50 gigs of data for only $59.95 a month. There's no contracts, there's no catches. It's ilovedata.com.au. Open that up on your browser now and let's get into the podcast.
We all watched the Trump inauguration and the protests and things, and we all took very different things out of it.
Yes,
so
we did.
A lot of the chat was around the numbers of people that were at the inauguration versus the number of people that were at
2009.
Which is an odd comparison because, well, how far back are we going to go? Because I believe the one for Abraham Lincoln wasn't that packed, but yeah. There was only 200,000 people.
Can we have some official ATP rankings for number of people at your inauguration?
But this is, of course, Donald Trump has gone on the front foot with the numbers he believes.
It looked like a million and a half people.
Nope. Yeah, but he also thinks his hair looks all right.
That's right. We'll talk about the numbers in a moment, but I watched some of the inauguration. I'm sure both of you guys watched
watched
his speech, etc. But then I was key, because you told me, Robin, there's an amazing situation at the ball afterwards. You said, hey, listen, Ed, there was going to be a special dance.
Yeah, well, there was some tweeting going on Friday from Caitlyn Jenner, who is a known Republican, who was saying that she was putting herself up to dance with the new president.
Whoa.
Now, there is a photo.
Wow.
As in, for those people that haven't caught up, used to be Bruce Jenner.
I think we're happy with the gold medalist at the 76 Olympics, but having your hand on that bum is, whoa.
So then it was on television. They were showing it a replay of it on a bizarre Foxtel channel way up in the newses.
Okay.
And I was like, yes!
Here it is!
Where is she? Get her up! I didn't see that, but I saw a very strange moment when Donald was trying to be nice to everybody. Have a listen to the awkwardness of this.
There is something that I wanted to say, because I was very honored, very, very honored, when I heard that President Bill Clinton and Secretary Hillary Clinton was coming today. And I think it's appropriate to say, and I'd like you to stand up. I'd like you to stand up.
Called for a standing ovation. Oh.
That's okay. That's polite. Do you think that's awkward?
It was so awkward because he had to stop himself from saying, look at that loser.
Exactly.
Look what she's wearing. Oh, no, that's not Caitlin. That's Hillary.
Hillary Clinton was the Paul Gallen after Third Origin.
Look at that.
You know what I noticed? The inauguration, that all came
that
and went.
Happened,
but yesterday, everyone
went,
oh, how big is the protest?
Yeah,
and
they
all, allegedly so, so big. But what idiots? Like, what's the use? You're protesting at something that you can't change. But have a listen to two of the greatest complainers that I've ever heard. Here's what sums up America.
I am so sorry to my world. I am so sorry to my world. This is not what we want.
I felt like throwing up. It's probably the worst day of my life right now.
Our dignity, our character, our rights have all been under attack.
Is that Katy Perry?
I'm sorry.
Is that Katy Perry?
I was hoping
it sounds like Katy Perry.
Is that Katy Perry?
I'm sorry Chief to my world if it was.
So Chief Political Analyst for E! News, Katy Perry. Was she wearing the lollipop outfit?
All the celebrities.
Of course they are. They're Democrats through and through. People were tweeting like mad. Like Pink said, today was a beautiful day to be proud of. I'm proud to have a voice, to have the courage to use it. I'm proud to be a woman. I'm proud of us.
Yeah, all the people from Los Angeles or San Francisco. But Mike Moore got up, the maker of ordinary documentaries with his San Francisco 49er cap.
But what about Madonna and her saying this?
I'm angry. Yes, I am outraged. Yes, I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
Hang on. She read that. She was reading that. If you're angry, you don't read.
But this morning, I've just been looking on Twitter. Clint Eastwood has said, I called the FBI and Secret Service to report Madonna for inciting people to blow up the White House.
Oh Clint.
Clint Eastwood did it.
Can't we just cut out the middleman?
Oh, my God.
Can't he just go all Dirty Harry?
No.
Making my day.
Okay, so, look, you're making jokes about this, but literally millions of women around the world have stood up to... Yeah, they did. They had a march. They were protesting and showing their right. And thank God America's starting to care about something again. It's good that people protest.
Oh, men would have protested too, but you know it's the semi-finals for the playoffs. It's the playoffs to get into the Super Bowl now.
NFL weekend. Did they vote?
Okay, yes. 90 million Americans didn't vote. Yeah. Only 58% of them did. I get it. But I still think it's very important that people are caring, and Donald Trump is not the person that you want leading the free world with his sexist, misogynistic viewpoints.
That's very true. One of the best placards I saw was Donald Trump's approval rating 32%. Paul Blart Mall Cop on Rotten Tomatoes, a movie review website, 33%. So I think that says it all.
I saw a beauty. We will overcome Trump.
Yeah.
One of the girls had.
Guys, thanks for listening to the podcast. We did mention at the start of the show that we've been handed an incredible deal from Ovo Mobile. So if you switch to Ovo Data SIM, you're going to get 50 gig for $59.95 on 4G. And this is going to change how you enjoy listening to music, video, sport, all the stuff you do on your mobile device with nothing more than a new SIM. And get this, just for you, for listening right now, Ovo will give you the first month at half price. Let's do some math. Let's work that out. A whole month to enjoy 50 gig on 4G for just $29.95, then $59.95 after that. So there's no contract, and Ovo will instantly upgrade your plan to any better offers they release as part of their More for Fans promise. And with 50 gig, you can afford to catch up with us more often. Open your browser now and get on at ilovedata.com.au. 50 gig for $59.95 on 4G, and then half price for the first month. ilovedata.com.au. Now let's get back to the show.
Can I drag it down a little bit and just talk about what happened in Melbourne on Friday afternoon? That was so horrible. Yep. My mum went down there to watch the tennis. She was at the tennis yesterday and today, and I just felt so sad. She hadn't been to Melbourne in something like 50 years, my mum, and that's when she arrives and goes,
absolutely terrible.
Can we talk about, I know, I see the five dead.
Yes.
And that guy, I only just read yesterday, and they've confirmed it today, that the police were on his tail for maybe two and a half hours. Mm-hmm. They were not chasing him, slow chase, while he was doing those donuts at, what's that called, Swanston Street or something?
Yeah, in front of the train
While he was
station.
Doing the doughies, which everyone's seen, the police were just sitting there watching, going, we'll intercept him. The police helicopter had been over the top of him, following him the whole way. And it was a slow, he let out his girlfriend. She'd been abducted for about something like 4 hours in the car.
There was an incident a couple of hours beforehand.
He'd stabbed his brother. And the whole thing is nuts. And I see the Victorian government's going to have a look at their bail laws.
Yeah, the bail laws is the big thing they're talking about.
They're talking about it, but no one's talking about why didn't the cops jump in and do as we see in the States and as we used to see done here, ram the car, block it. I know occasionally they use stingers, but we have – why didn't they stop it before –
You're asking about a police chase.
It should have been – they should have – like, why did they have a low-level police chase? Why didn't they ram that car, roll him, whatever, which they – no, they're not allowed to, I find out.
No, that's right.
Why aren't they having an investigation on that? Why did they let this thing go on and on? They said that we were waiting for a safe time to do it. Just do it.
Yeah, but you say that now, and it's awful what's happened, and all these people are died and injured. But the flip side of that is that it with police chases, and the reason why they've stopped doing it is because people were also getting injured because the police were chasing.
That's right. Oh, no, I hear their stats and all the rest of it because Queensland did it. I read Melbourne and Victoria only started doing it in 2015 because they'd had 14 deaths in the 5 years prior to that. But tell me how many of those deaths were the bad guys that they were chasing, and why are they? If you want to do that, you're going to get chased and you might get killed.
Yeah, but if you're chasing, there is much more potential for more people to get injured.
Collateral damage, what, more people than the 30 you got hit in Bourke Street Mall?
Okay, that's that specific incident.
Do you remember Berlin? Do you remember what happened in Nice? We've got to stop because this is now going to become the preferred way to kill people is going to be using a car. We have to have our police. We're in Queensland here. It's been 5 years now since our cops have been allowed to chase people. It's horrific that the cops have to pull away. You ask people who live down in Logan, all the high-speed cars that get stolen and the cops aren't allowed to chase
them. So do you think that most people would like police car chases back in Queensland?
I don't know about most.
Not
I reckon
anything.
They do.
Well, I'm about to ask the question.
Yeah, why not?
Here's Danielle. The question is,
ask everyone else.
Should the police chase be banned or should police in Queensland be allowed to chase criminals? Danielle from Strathpine.
Good morning.
Hi, what do you want to say?
Okay, I want to say, first of all, bring back the police chases.
Yeah.
It's not just bring back police chases. Let's bring back the death penalty for these mongrels who go out there and kill innocent people because they decide that what their issues are is more important than everybody else's life.
Am I allowed to support her with that one?
Well, you can support anyone.
I'm allowed to support her because that guy, quite clearly hanging out of his stolen Commodore, deserves to go.
But, Marta, look, it's really hard when you talk about a situation like this that's only a couple of days old and there were so many tragic deaths. But if you try and just take it generally, if this was a situation where the police had lost control and ploughed into a group of onlookers or bystanders, we'd be having an entirely different conversation. And that's the problem.
But they're so highly trained. They're highly trained drivers and they're highly trained to make decisions. We'll ask everyone else.
Neville's from Ipswich. Neville, should the police chase be brought back?
Absolutely not. If you watch the cop shows on TVs and you see the police, you've got 22-year-old boys pumped full of adrenaline and they're buzzing after the chase is done. Mm-hmm. Now, not only that, they're using normal street cars here, Holdens and Fords, and the thieves are running around in Audis and BMWs. That these things are not equipped to deal with that kind of chase, and these guys are not that well trained.
So, but Nev, the people who are running away from the police, do you care if something happens to them, do you?
No, I don't care about the collateral damage.
Yeah.
They've got a bird in the sky. They had a chase last night at Ipswich.
Yeah.
And they shut down the highway. That guy was in an Audi. They had no chance of catching him, but they caught him because of the technology they've got.
That's right.
Got the bird in the air. So what more do they need? They don't need these young blokes buzzing around looking for the chase, and that's what the police do.
Thanks, Neville. Appreciate that. Steve's from Moggle. Steve, should they bring back the police chase?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's enough is enough. There comes a time where the police need to stamp their authority. You look at youth these days. I mean, I'm 40 years old. When I was a teen, I wouldn't have thought of getting in trouble because I was scared of the cops. Hmm. These days, people are just not scared of the cops, and that needs to come back.
No repercussions when they do get caught, but down in Logan, they are just running amok in terms of stolen cars, and they know the cops can't catch them
away. But a police chase is not... The fact that they're allowed to chase is not going to stop some thug from stealing a car. It's not. They're going to steal a car regardless, aren't they?
You sure?
Cameron from Clayfield, should they bring back the police chase?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, that idiot was driving round and round in circles in the middle of the street with the police sitting by and then ploughed through and killed five people, including a three-month-old baby.
I know for a fact the Queensland Police Union want to go back to chases. The cops aren't happy with them. Why would the cops, they're the people at the front line, have to confront these blokes? They want to chase these people. I'm sure they're the same in Melbourne.
But that guy in Melbourne, why didn't the cops... He was doing donuts.
Why didn't they get him there?
There was enough time for TV cameras to get down.
Exactly
there.
Right.
Like, there was enough time for people to have proper TV cameras reporting from it. Thank you, Cam. Kylie's from Morningside. Bring back police chases, yes or no?
Definitely, yes. I think the example is here in southeast Queensland on, I think, Saturday night it was. A car got all the way from the Gold Coast up to Wynnum.
Yeah.
Multiple people were hurt. Someone was carjacked near IKEA at the petrol station. A female police officer was hit. They keep on doing it, and they drive in any event like they've stolen it. They, regardless if someone's chasing them, there's still horrendous outcomes. And then these people think they can get away with it and keep doing it. They need to bring it back.
I'm with you. Don't worry.
Thank you, everybody. There's Guy from Red Bank, Malcolm. Sorry, lots of people calling. Sorry we can't get to you. Brendo, results?
Yeah, callers with Marto on this one. 68% of callers say yes, we should bring back the
police.
They're
not with Marto. They're with the police.
Yes.
Let's remember they want to chase people.
Thanks, everybody. Robin, lovely to have you with us.
Thank you.
You have three teenage sons.
Yes.
Now, I imagine they've all got smartphones that they're absolutely addicted to.
Yes, they do.
Marto, you're the owner of how many teenagers?
Owner-operator of two.
Two.
Still teenagers, Marto?
Yeah, 17, 18.
Ah, okay. So minus 16, 14, and 12.
Right.
So when it comes to
are
like.
They're all boys.
They're all boys.
My sister says there's a place in heaven for mothers of three boys. I've got a sister with three boys. I've got a sister in law with three boys. I've got a sister in law with four boys. I don't know how you do it.
Yeah,
do
man,
you
I'm not
love
sure.
girls? I was always sure if there was a small girl's abducted, I was always sure it was going to be my sister. She is so desperate for a girl.
Right. Okay.
Oh, I don't know how
but
you do
I'm
it.
I'm the
well
godmother
done.
To lots of girl babies because people feel
oh, sorry.
Feels for
right.
me.
You have one. Have
yeah. 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 One of these. You can
one of these.
That one. Anyway, my kids are onto all the things that teenagers get into. You know, like there was Gangnam Style a couple of years ago.
Of course.
Planking.
They'd be dabbing all the time.
Dabbing. Yeah. Right. Okay. But there's a brand new one. And I actually think, not quite. I actually think you guys are more responsible for this one than any of the others. And that is this sound.
Nice, Gary.
Nice,
yes.
Gary. The whole
okay.
summer.
There
the
is
whole summer.
Yeah, the whole summer. I feel sorry for anyone called Barry,
yeah.
Gary,
yeah.
Harry.
See, I've got a Harry.
See,
he's
does
been
he get it?
It? From his sister. For some reason, his sister knew about it from her boyfriends
yeah.
and stuff.
Yeah.
So she just goes, nice, Harry, every time she passes him in the hallway.
But now... there is an app that you can get on YouTube that just
does
says
what?
That.
Nice, Gary.
Over and
oh
over.
My
you can
God.
Set it to go for a minute. You can set it to go for an hour.
Oh.
You can set it to go for 10 hours. In fact, one of my children has made it their ringtone.
Ah, yeah.
So when the phone rings, you hear this.
Nice, Gary.
Oh, that's magnificent.
Over and over.
You
don't
deserve
again.
That as Matthew Wade for starting the whole bloody
oh.
thing.
Shocking. So, boys, I hold you personally responsible. Thank
so
you
So, the
much.
Alan Border medal's on tonight, of course, the night of nights,
so
where
excited.
We get to see what the wives, but what it's mainly about is to let's check out the wives and girlfriends
yeah, the
of
wags.
The cricketers.
Yes. Looking gorgeous.
All right. So Gary Lyon's girlfriend?
Gary Lyon?
Sorry, not Gary Lyon's girlfriend.
Oh, dear. Don't say that.
Lyon's come on, girlfriend.
Gary. Even I know that.
Yeah, Google
don't
that
go
if you
there.
Want to see it. Yeah. Okay, but tonight.
Nice, Gary.
That's right. As Nathan Lyon walks in down the red carpet with his girlfriend, that's what he'll be getting.
Thank you to Brenda, who's called in off air to say it's great to have Robin on board. She's just switched
Aww.
Over
Aww,
to listen to her. Lovely to have you with us, Brenda. This is Marto, if you've never heard him before. He's a very nice young man.
Hi, Brenda. No, I'm usually grumpy, but I've got a point to prove right here, right now. Do you remember? Now, Robin, last Wednesday, you may not remember, but Ed went on a bit of a rant. And it is true, the Big Bash is rating higher than the Australian Open tennis.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's been a bit of a turnaround. We're talking about that. Ed said... Well, he started with this.
Because the other thing is the Australian Open has so many dud matches. I can't get into I cannot get excited about it anymore.
And then he went on to say, I can't let you listen to him from last Wednesday too long. He went on to say, oh, it's all about just Djokovic versus Murray. Why don't we just have the final tonight and call it all off?
Mm-hmm.
I sort of saw his point. He's very persuasive in that way.
Absolutely.
But then we saw on the weekend, Friday night, Novak Djokovic.
Gone.
Then yesterday afternoon, Andy Murray.
Gone.
There's your two big boys.
All I'll say is...
it's opened up the draw.
That much like a game of cricket against Pakistan...
Yes. Well, that's when the result's foreseeable.
We won't know the true results of tennis matches until all the legal proceedings for the match begin.
Oh, come on.
Sorted out in the next year.
Surely it's a Rafa Federer.
I said to him, what about Rafa?
Final.
He said, oh, mate, since he's been off the juice.
Oh,
did you say that on it? No, maybe you said that off it.
He
said, since he's been off the juice, he's not the same player. I went, what about Roger? Oh, mate, have you seen how old he is? Well, listen, we'll have a proper tennis chat in about an hour's time to Henri Leconte, who's our tennis lead.
Who knows what he's talking about?
But did you watch? I'm watching because my mum. And my sister took mum down there. Mum's always wanted to go to the Australian Open. Used to be a good tennis player. Gone down. And I thought, I'm going to watch yesterday. Watch that Zverev. Where is that name from?
To me, it sounds Yugoslavian. I don't know how to say Yugoslavia. A former Baltic state, Serbia or
the
somewhere
Slavics.
Like that. Yes,
well,
the Slavic
they got
state.
Him down as German in brackets after his name. But his younger brother, his 19-year-old brother, he got dished up on Saturday night by Rafa Nadal. Five sets. Went for 4 hours and whatever. Then yesterday, he does Andy Murray. What a family. And they started having, Jim Courier started having a chat about the mum and dad, those poor parents.
I know.
Zverevs have certainly entertained us over this weekend here at the Australian Open. We've had some court time out here on Rod Laver.
We've had court time, and mum and dad have been sitting in the same seats. They did 4 hours and 6 minutes yesterday with Sasha, 2:19 and counting with Misha.
To all the mums and dads who went to the cricket with their kids on Saturday morning, thought you were doing it tough. What if you were a Zverev parent? Can I just say they're German, all right? We said they're Zverev, and I'm going... oh, I saw after the game, like he's just beaten Andy Murray. And the media guy ran over to him and he slumped there going, a little bit exhausted. And you could see the media guy I would figure, was asking him, because I'd never heard him do an interview before. I've never heard of him. I'd never seen him before. He was asking him, can you speak English? Because they were getting Jim Courier was walking down to the commentary box to do the gentleman Jim
interview.
And are
you okay with redheads?
And I'm thinking, are you okay with guys who interview who like talking about their own career? Mm. And I'm thinking, I wonder if what does he sound like? Yes. Here he is with Jim Courier.
How did you pull this off?
Honestly, I don't know. I was like in a little coma and just sort of rolling my way
through.
No American German.
Dodgy.
Yeah, Robin, what a weekend it was.
Well, except though, you've missed the most important thing out of all of the tennis weekend, and it involved two of the women.
Mm. Not Dasha,
yes,
Gavrilova.
Aussie Dasha playing a woman whose name I can't pronounce. Tamia. See, I'm dyslexic.
Balotelli or something.
She
beat her, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, they were wearing the same outfit.
I saw that. That was
Oh, you did notice that.
Kath and I watched it Saturday night.
You can't tell. You couldn't have both blonde. The only difference was that one had a white visor and the other had a white headband. Like, wouldn't ASICS have known?
Yeah, I think they would have known. You would think that they would
That's
have.
Dodgy
someone would have stopped them in the corridor
and gone, someone change.
Hey, somebody want to.
But even
switch
at
it
soccer
up.
Training or footy training, you put a fluoro bib on if you're wearing the same jerseys on just to distinguish.
And Mother, you would have noticed they were also wearing the same bra. Like the whole
Ivy,
of the
but I didn't
outfits
want to talk to Kat because she might have thought that's what I was doing. They were. I
they
noticed
were.
From the
they
back.
They had the muscle back bras on.
Is that what you call
the,
them?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, well, listen. Is that embarrassing? You know how women, you're a bridesmaid, you don't like to be next to a woman who's dressed in the same clothes.
Yeah.
You know that Channel 9 business.
Where was
on
the
recently?
Amber Sherlock saying, go and get a jacket?
Yeah, exactly.
Jacket,
go and get a bib. That story about Ben Hunt, but let's get the facts about it from Dobbo, our NRL insider, our Broncos expert. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good morning, Marto. Good morning, Ed. And finally, we have someone with some knowledge about rugby league in the mornings. Robin Bailey, welcome to the family.
Thank you so much, Dobbo.
Dobbo, let's start with Ben Hunt. So the Broncos halfback, where is he going and how much money is he getting to go there?
Yeah, unbelievable story. Ben Hunt has been in the Broncos system since he was 12 years of age. So obviously from Blackwater, a proud Queenslander, he is going to St George next year. The Dragons have signed him. This is a huge deal. 6-year deal, in excess of $6 million. And I can tell you the back end of it, the fifth and sixth years, are well over $1 million. So 1.25 a year. A huge investment for a bloke that'll be 34 at the end of his career. And the Dragons, well, they haven't had that much money. They've been absolutely putrid over the last couple of years. So the fact that they've gone out and bought Ben Hunt, the Broncos are very disappointed. They're really disappointed. Obviously, as I said, he's been part of the fabric, but they just could not match it. They had the last offer, and they had the right of refusal, and they just could not match it, and they gave him his blessing, and he'll be a Dragon wearing the red V next year.
Dobbo, can I run this one by you? All right, he's a Sir Brendan's boy from there at Yeppoon. They put all the work into him. The Broncos put all their work with him. As you said, he's been in with them since he was 12 or 13. Why can it not be like soccer that all that money that they've invested in Ben Hunt, they can't get any back on him?
Well, it's a good question. But if that was the case, the Broncos would have every single player practically in the NRL.
That's right.
They seem to be the best at developing.
That's right.
Look, unfortunately, the talent pool has to spread around, and they're just not getting done. Now, I spoke to Broncos officials on Friday night when this was all going down. They were very, very disappointed. They said, we've still got Anthony Milford. Remember, Anthony Milford's off contract at the end of this year. They've got Josh Maguire, Andrew McCulloch, Jordan Kahu. So they're sort of breathing a little bit of a sigh of relief in some ways. Right. They couldn't match it, but what it might do is free up a bit of cap because Anthony Milford, Ben Hunt is now the highest player in the game, but he'll be matched by Anthony Milford. So it should be interesting times. Oh, no.
Can I ask you, though, all of you boys, do you blame him for going?
No. Good luck to him.
He's got a child, and I think he's married, or he's got
a
girlfriend.
Exactly right.
No, absolutely. Good luck to him. Before we let you go, Dobbo, James Roberts. Robin's just on the Broncos website. He's still there, Robin?
He's still up on the website, but he was banned from going to a Blues thing happening.
Yeah, look.
The emerging Blues camp.
Emerging Origins, he won't be attending that. Laurie Daly said, no, we've had enough of Bad Boys in Origin for the New South Wales side, so he won't be attending that. Look, as the longer it goes, and we all know, the longer I think that James Roberts will remain a Brisbane Bronco, I'm hearing that it could be a suspension. I don't think he's going to be have his contract terminated. It helps when the publican from the Love Nightclub has refused to give the NRL Integrity Committee any of the CCT footage.
So that means he's already stopped. Didn't the Normanby footage from that incident disappear mysteriously?
Yeah, there's a pattern here. There is a pattern. But look, I mean, James Roberts, I don't think he'll be terminated. I think it'll be, from what I understand, it'll be a suspension the first 4 weeks. And look out, the Broncos, they've got some controversy around them. We still haven't named the captain yet. We've got that, a big official announcement happening shortly.
Well, we should be doing that announcement at Love Nightclub. That seems to be the official sponsor of the Broncos these days. We'll do it outside. We'll all go in and then we'll get the bouncers to kick us all out and we'll do it on the footpath in honour of James Roberts. Dobbo, we will be hearing you more on Triple M. Appreciate your time. See you, mate.
Cheers, guys.
Now, Robin, first things first, welcome again. And this happened to you over the weekend. Now, you had extra... You've got three teenage boys and you were cleaning out your office. Your neighbour's bin was only a quarter full. You had the bag in your hand, but did you do it or not?
No, I didn't, because I just felt it was really bad. And my friend Rebecca's just texted me and she said, can't you get a second bin?
No.
That'd be so dodgy. The council going, look, you know, they're trying to reduce rubbish. And, you know, that house.
I'll declare, I own six bins.
You do not.
Yep.
How do you own six bins?
Because I was a builder. You just take a bin whenever you did a reno and then you get another one.
Do the council pick up six bins worth of rubbish from your house every week? There you go.
No, they don't. You can have a go. You can have a go, though. Hey, you should have just thrown it in there. No one cares that much.
Well, I just want to know if you can.
You're too nice.
Here we go. John's from The Gap. Can you put your rubbish in someone else's bin?
Now, if the bin is already out on the road and it's full, they're happy with the amount of rubbish that they put in that bin. They're ready for the bin to go. Then you can add to it. But if it's empty, no.
Because why is it? Why?
Why not empty? Why?
Because if it's empty, then you've now restarted their rubbish without their permission. But if it's full, they're happy. They're ready to get rid of that bin, so you can add to it.
I think so. John's saying, in case you come along after the collection, but before they take it back in.
Yeah,
I see what you mean, John.
It's tempting, isn't it? Yeah. I live on a street up near a railway line. People come past. And our bin gets filled up. They do that straight after it's been emptied. They'll put stuff in there.
That sucks. Hey, Steve from Almost. Steve, can you put your rubbish in other people's bins?
I reckon it's on the footpath. It's Switzerland. It's neutral territory.
Yeah, that's right.
Footpath.
No man's land.
But if they put it out, add to it.
Yeah, as soon as it hits the road, you reckon that's it. It's fair game. All right, Steve.
If you're a homeless person, are you allowed to go through your bin after it's been put out then, based on that logic?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
Is that all right with everyone?
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Yeah, absolutely. Susie.
Say, Susie, what do you reckon about the bin thing?
Hi, Robin. No, you are not allowed to put your rubbish in someone else's bin.
Wow.
It is classified as littering, and under Brisbane City Council, you can actually get a fine.
Well, who are you seeing your detective council regulations?
Because
How do you know?
I used to do it until my son looked it up.
So that would require someone. So my neighbours would have to dob me in, and then potentially. Well, how much is the fine?
I don't know, but it was quite high, so I have now.
Jeez, how good would that be in the watch house? What are you in for? I did a 7-Eleven. What are you in for, Robin Bailey? Some bin work. Some extra stuff in the neighbours. Yeah, all right, Rob. Brendo, give us some results.
Thanks, Susie.
All hinges on this. 80% of people say you can put your rubbish in someone else's bin.
Yeah, but will they pay the fine? I'm just saying.
Yeah. And it is your first full day with us, Robin. We're having a great time.
Robin who?
Robin Bailey, mate.
Well, some people don't
know. You can stop all those promos saying I'm here in 3, 2, 1. It's done. I'm here.
Sorry, what promos?
Yeah, don't be like that. So we're playing a game called Robin Roulette to let everybody, us and everybody else, get to know you a little bit better. Robin, how does this game work?
Okay, I'm going to give you three scenarios. Mm-hmm. Two of them are actual facts from my life and one isn't.
Excellent.
And you have to guess the one that isn't.
Righto. Right. Well, we don't. We've got listeners ready to go.
Okay, righto. So I'll give you the three scenarios.
Yep.
Right, here they are. Number one. I was an exchange student in the US when I was 16 and ended up as the high school football team's mascot.
Mascot? Are we allowed to ask questions?
Yes.
Mascot, usually they use livestock over there, like a goat.
Like as you can't use the Broncos because they actually have a horse. But if I was going to be the Roosters, you know how they have the costume characters?
That. Like that weird.
Oh, how good's the Panther, the Penrith Panthers? Do you see how many flips he can do and push ups and stuff?
I reckon that's a girl.
All right, but that's
anyway,
good. That's interesting
okay,
the way you answered that.
So, okay, right, that's one, scenario number one. Scenario number two. I once did a half marathon, tore my hamstring, and had to spend 2 weeks on crutches.
Ooh, that is okay. Yeah, all right. You look fit, and I know that you run. So
I do
that's,
run.
So that's,
I do run.
Okay.
Which hamstring was it?
Right.
Ooh, answered that quick enough, do you reckon? Okay.
Okay, third scenario. My mum once told off Rupert Murdoch and was later congratulated by his mother, Elizabeth, who said more people should do it.
Okay, what did your mum do for a...
Okay, my mum, I come from quite a media family, so my mum was Professor of Media Studies at Griffith University here. But before that, she was on the Australian Broadcasting Tribunal, which was...
Oh, standards and like, you can't do that.
That's a lot to make up. No more questions.
Okay, there you go. Right. So does that help?
That's a lot to make up if you're making that one up.
Okay, righto.
So, Sue from Woodridge. Hello, Sue.
How you going?
You're our first ever contestant on Robin Roulette.
Well, say welcome to Robin,
Hello,
please.
Hello, Sue.
Welcome to Triple M, Robin.
Oh,
how
thank
you going?
You. I'm so glad to be here. Let me tell you, come on, Sue, you can win this.
Which is the incorrect statement, Robin, of the three? There's either exchange,
there's a half marathon,
or a mum told off Rupert Murdoch. Oof.
What do you reckon, Sue?
I reckon the exchange student.
Sorry, Sue. I actually
was an exchange
student in America in a little town called in the Appalachian Mountains called Silver Webster, and I was their eagle mascot.
So you were the Appalachian Eagles.
You were in the
suit.
Silver Webster Eagles.
And you were in the suit dancing around.
Because it was the only way I could become a cheerleader.
Sue's still there, and
sorry,
she's very disappointed.
Sorry, Sue.
That's okay. No worries. You enjoy... Triple M, Robin.
I'm loving these boys. Thank you, Sue.
Here comes Brian from Eagleby. Brian, we've already knocked out the... So Robin was an exchange student mascot. We'll deal with that another day. So you've only got two left. One of them's incorrect. Half marathon or mum told off Rupert Murdoch?
Welcome to Triple M, Robin.
Thank you, Brian.
Do you think Ed and I are behaving ourselves a little better this morning?
Yes, I think so, mate. The lady's got you two under wraps, I reckon.
Well, short term.
It won't last. Okay, which one do you reckon, Brian?
I reckon number two.
The half marathon?
Yes, the half marathon.
You are correct.
Brian, you've done it.
I ran a marathon. I ran the Gold Coast Marathon in 2011 and didn't do a hamstring. I've never done a half marathon. There you go.
There you
well
go.
Done, Brian.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much, Robin.
Brian, huge prize. You are going to join Robin Bailey at Brisbane Roar versus Western Sydney Wanderers this Saturday in the Chairman's Lounge.
Oh, my gosh.
Get your tickets, of course, ticketek.com.au.
That is the best place to throw a flare from.
Awesome.
Best place.
Brian,
we should say... I think it's going to come from there.
That's true.
You are heading along with Robin, but there is a catch, and we're going to reveal what that catch is at the end of the week. But for now, you're in the Chairman's Lounge, brother.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Triple M crew.
Guys, the Festival of the Trump over the weekend, the inauguration on one day, and the ball, the beautiful ball, Caitlyn Jenner in attendance. And then they had the next day, Robin, which was all about protests and people saying he's not my president, despite the fact there was an election. And our very own Intrepid, well, Channel 9's Intrepid reporter, Channel 9's Laura Turner was there for the whole thing, and she joins us now. Hello, Laura.
Hello, how are you?
Yeah, great. Now, Laura, who had the bigger crowds, the inauguration or the protest?
Well, look, the new numbers that have come out from Metro Rail here in Washington this morning show that the protest yesterday carried, well, the Metro Rail carried the second largest number of people into Washington ever, and that was for the protest. The first largest number of people to be carried on Metro Rail into Washington was for Barack Obama's inauguration back in 2009. And they are just people who travelled by Metro. So I think the answers themselves are there in the facts and the numbers. Donald Trump's inauguration most certainly was not the most attended in history.
What was the biggest thing for you over the weekend? Was it the protest, or were you really impressed with the inauguration and all the celebrations surrounding that?
Look, I've got to say, as an Australian, being at an inauguration is quite an incredible thing to see. It is a huge event, and so much goes into it. They're building those dams and the big
glass box that Trump sits in front of the White House for the parade. They're building that for months. Jeez. It is a huge event here. Yeah. But I'm being really honest in saying this. I was in the middle of the crowd for the inauguration and the middle of the crowd for the protest yesterday. Yeah. The vibe and the feeling was so completely different. And I'm not just saying this, but the feeling at the inauguration was lackluster. People were not screaming and cheering. There was not the emotion that you would expect. Mm. Yesterday was incredible in terms of the passion in that crowd.
So, Laura, what now then? Like, it's all done. They protest. Exactly. He's inaugurated. There's a president. Exactly. And then what?
Well, now this is the new era of a new president, and it is an unprecedented one. And one that we've seen in the last 24 hours is going to be one that's quite testy, especially with the media. He has just gone on a rampage since he was inaugurated in attacking the media, claiming that we reported the numbers of those who attended his big day. We underreported the numbers and that they have the facts on the numbers. His new press secretary last night came out and falsely claimed, he lied point blank to the media and said it was the most attended inauguration ever.
Wonderful.
One of his senior advisors has come out this morning and told one of the media outlets here they have alternative facts. There's no such thing as alternative facts.
Alternative facts.
What is going on right now is absolutely incredible in terms of the way that they're dealing with reality and the way that the media is now going to have to try and work out a way of covering Donald Trump, because it's going to be no average presidency.
That's interesting. Is there one news agency or one media agency that goes, righto, we're going to actually be on his side? Is there one that favours him and he will actually use instead of Twitter, perhaps?
Yeah, that's Fox News. They're a very conservative station. They swing to the right in terms of politics, and they certainly have more favourable coverage of Donald Trump, far more favourable coverage. Even just look at the TV ratings, the number of people watching Fox News on the day of his inauguration was millions and millions more than, say, CNN, who leaned to the left.
And those are the people he wants.
Here in the US.
He doesn't care about the people marching with placards. He cares about the people watching at home on the telly. Yep. Laura Turner, Channel 9 reporter. We'll watch you on the telly, live from the United States there all weekend for the Trump inauguration. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
What a weekend at the Australian Open tennis. Everyone said, oh, it's so predictable. Novak Djokovic will play Andy Murray and it doesn't matter. Well, I tell you what, there's one bloke who saw it all. He's the most controversial. He's the most wonderfully comical tennis commentator there is, former tennis legend, Henri Leconte. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you, mate?
Oh, what a weekend. Did you see?
I love it.
Did you ever imagine that Novak and also Andy Murray could be out?
Yeah. Why not? I think that's why, you know, the Australian Open is like that, and it's a good controversy about tennis, and, you know, it's great for everybody. I'm happy about it. It's good.
But what happened? Like, seriously, what happened?
What happened? It's sports. That's the way it is.
That's right. It's not scripted.
Nothing has to be true all the time.
Let's be honest, Henri. Everybody loves Federer more than Murray and Djokovic combined.
And Rafa. Rafa's there too.
Is it now the FedEx Express is open to lose? Is he still the best? Is he the best player left?
Of course he's the best player left. I mean, 17 Grand Slam, and the way he played and the way he confirmed yesterday and last night against Kei Nishikori to win in 5. I'm telling you, between you and me, that was something very, very, very impressive. And I'm so happy for Roger and the way he's playing. Sometimes he's not even playing tennis. He's playing table tennis.
What about the girls?
Yeah, got Dasha Gavrilova, the Australian / Russian, who's left there, Henri.
You know what I love about her? She's, you know, Aussie, and she's playing. She loves to play in Australia, and she doesn't care about the pressure. She's still the same. She played the same that and last year, and she really deserves it, and she's going for it. And I think I would be so happy for her to go in the quarterfinal.
Would she get to the end?
Let her just play that match. Go to the quarters. Then we talk to the quarters. Then we talk maybe to semis.
Henri, tennis legend now, Channel 7 commentator. We'll speak to you soon. Au revoir.
Au revoir.
Au revoir. That was your Australian Open update. Thanks to Hisense. Marto, Ed and Robin on Brisbane's new Triple M. Well, Robin, it's lovely to have you with us here at Triple M, and you join us on the most auspicious of occasions.
What a day.
It is, of course, the night of nights. Forget the Academy Awards.
Ooh, okay.
Forget the inauguration. It's the most important night of the year. It is, of course,
I don't know.
The Alan Border Medal.
Sorry. Oh, cricket! Yay!
And one man who's going to be inducted into the Cricket Hall of Fame at about time too is Queensland and Australian legend Matthew Hayden. Good morning, Haydos.
G'day, Ed. Oh, listen, this is a great day for us,
isn't it, though? Well, isn't
it? The final, the checks and balances. It's like it'll be some sort of discussion in the cabinet between Marto and Robert.
Yeah, that's Robert.
Hello, Maddie. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. How are you?
I'm very fine. How's your beautiful wife, Kelly? Has she got a good outfit for tonight?
Oh, she's always got a good one. Yeah, excellent.
We're getting off cricket here.
No, I'm happy to go red carpet. How will she go? Is she got to compete with some of these 22-year-olds who spend 3 days getting ready for tonight?
Yeah, I reckon she'll be the last one, and she probably won't even know what she's wearing, but she'll have everyone organised, including me. I mean, because I take, you know, obviously a massive attention seeker. I take at least 2.5 seconds to get ready.
Straight off the fishing boat.
What's the plan when they induct you? Of course, last year was Tomo, and I reckon he let loose about 18 F-bombs while he was doing his speech. What do you got planned?
I don't think I'll be releasing the F-bomb. No. Very much. The kids are going to be in the car.
Yeah, don't do that, Matty.
No, that's probably not a good idea. But, I mean, Tomo last year, he was magnificent. And, you know, he did play in that era that was able just to play with complete expression of their own personalities. And it's lovely to see, I've got to say. I mean, the longer that cricket's going in and the deeper it's going into the professional era, the less characters you actually have. And I think we all identify, and coming in with me is one of the great characters of the game, David Boone.
Boone. Yes,
and look,
please.
You know, he's one of these tough individuals, and he probably, you know, the whole drinking element of what he achieved, not only on the way to England, whatever, on the flight, but I think it was way overrated because, I mean, Martin, you'll appreciate this. Sitting around a bar with Alan Border, David Boone, Jeff Marsh, they had no more than about 8 to 10 beers. They talked cricket the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
Now, as a youngster,
what an education.
That's how I learned the game. Yeah. I mean, now you jump into the ice bath, as Jason Gillespie said, they put more ice on you than what they do, you know, on the beer.
What a waste.
And I think if you miss that sort of that storytelling, that ability to relate to people, and that just that great companionship that comes in a dressing room when, not around alcohol, but just spending time around each other.
That's very interesting, Haydo. But just before we let you go, Marto, you got one more
I just want to know, how do you feel about Matthew Renshaw? Looks like he might get squeezed out of the opening spot on this Indian tour. Mate, he has got so many similarities to you. Are you a fan?
I am a fan, indeed. I mean, anyone that sort of, I guess you look at runs scored, and that's a great thing. But you look at character in young people, and to last that sort of 8 or 9 overs
in a
test match, you know, at night, that's the hardest thing. And as an opener, you know, I completely respect that. If you've got the tenacity and the ability to be able to do that, mate, you win me every time. So I hope you're wrong. I hope he doesn't get squeezed out anywhere. I hope he, you know, stays on that tour. He learns a lot about the game. It's going to be a really tough tour, India. And I think they've also, you know, really going to struggle with the side that they've got. But that's the struggle is good because then you learn with a younger side then how to go back there again and win.
There you go. Matthew Hayden being inducted into the
Hall
of Fame tonight.
Well done, Matty.
At the AB Thank Medal. You. A pleasure. Well, buddy, well played, buddy.
And Marto, look after Rob.
Yeah, mate, it's all good so far.
Check. Yes.
Yeah. I'll try, Matty.
I tell you what, Haydos, it already smells a lot better in here.
Yeah. And he's put his shoes on.
Very hard to polish a turd, as they say, but good luck.
See ya.
Well played,
Bye.
Mate.
See ya.
That's us for today. We're out of here.
Hey, don't
almost.
Forget Dasher tonight.
Oh, she playing?
Gavril over. Yeah, after 6 o'clock. So watch the news and then watch that. Oh, if you're not watching the Alan Border medal tally.
I think I know what.
Two votes to Steve
really?
Smith.
Ooh, you're really going to watch the Alan Border medal?
One vote.
Please
Mitchell
don't
Stark.
Expect me to do that.
How else am I going to know who won One Day Domestic Cricketer of the Year?
Oof.
Come on, Hilton Cartwright. Less of that tomorrow. Robin, lovely to have you with us. Will you come back
Thank
and play
you.
Tomorrow?
Yes, of course. It's been Excellent. Fab.